We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew. Today we come to chapter 23. We'll begin at verse 23, and we'll read to the end of the chapter in verse 39. In Matthew 23, verses 23 to 39. Now, Jesus is speaking very severely to the scribes and Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. Now, the word hypocrite, its original root meaning, it speaks of an actor who would hold a face in front of himself. And it was not who he was. It was what he wanted to be appear to be. And Jesus said they're just like that. That's not who they actually are. They're not actually godly people. But they're devoting all their energy to looking godly. And he accuses them for tithing mint and dill and cumin. Not because it's bad to do that, because that's where all their emphasis went, on the little details of obedience, while the massive issues of, you know, a godly life, the way you treat people, the whole direction and purpose of why you're living, were completely ungodly. And it was all under this mask of petty outward conformity, not even to God's law, but to their own many rules. Verse 25 is an important statement. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Well, this hits not just the Pharisees, it hits us. Because we too are infected with the disease that we are, isn't it true, so often more preoccupied with what people are seeing about us, what we look like, what we think people are thinking about us, and give a relatively small amount of concern to what we really are, to what's actually going on in our hearts. And the whole New Testament emphasis is that godliness begins inwardly. Grace works inwardly. It changes our hearts and our affections. It causes us really to live for God and to love His ways. And the outward will take care of itself. It's an inward focus on spiritual life and godliness, love for the Lord, love for others, and it manifests itself outward. And it's very typical for us, but I think particularly for people who've been believers for a long time. We're often smugly self-satisfied because, you know, we're so much better than those people. And we have we've gained a certain outward conformity. That's actually a good thing. Please don't just sin outwardly and make a bad appearance to avoid hypocrisy. Jesus says you actually need to do both in the right way. And yet, we remain sinners, isn't it true? I look in my own heart. You look in your own heart. Our passage is going to talk about that a bit today in Jeremiah. And what we see is our great need of a Savior. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. When we think about what Jesus says, not just about the Pharisees, but about me, about us, we realize I need the Word of God in my heart, in my mind, in my life. I need prayer. I need God's grace. That's true spirituality. He accuses them, he assails them, because while they talked about God's law, they're actually the representatives of those who killed the prophets. In fact, they're going to kill the prophet who's among them. Jesus is the greatest of the prophets, and while this is going on, they're conspiring against them. There's another warning. We talk about the Bible. We're Bible people. We believe in inerrancy, the authority of God's Word. But what do we do when the Bible calls us sinners? What do we do when we're reading the Bible or the sermons being preached and we realize that we're wrong, that we're out of sync, that our will is hard and wrong, and we're going the wrong way? Well, we're not to be like the Pharisees who covered it up and killed the prophets. No, we're to repent. Like Josiah, we're to have tender hearts before the word of the Lord. That's what the Lord desires. Now, the passage ends in one of the great scenes. It shows us that even while Jesus is using this hard language with Jerusalem, oh, he loves them and wants to save them. And very much in the style of the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Jesus stands over the city and he weeps. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And he says, I've wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. I want to bless you. I want you to have life. I want to keep you safe. But you were not willing. That's the question before us as we read this passage. Are we willing really to experience the grace of God? Jesus longs for us to have it. Well, let's give ear to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever.